This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. On a previous edition of the Armor of God, we were addressing the subject of change. And we looked at change from a big picture perspective. What I'd like to do on today's program is revisit the subject of change, but I want to get a little more detailed today. And the way I'm going to get detailed is I'm going to discuss some ideas that came to me from a couple books I read on change. These are popular books that are out in the public arena today. One of them is titled The Influencer, and the other is Change Anything. And both books were written by the same group of social scientists. And these social scientists have looked at change, and they believe that they have six characteristics that can help people change whatever it is they're trying to change. Now, these books were interesting to me because as I read the books and I found their six characteristics, I found connections to all of those characteristics in the Bible. It was as if the Bible was speaking to me through the examples that these individuals were coming up with in the books that they wrote on this subject of change. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the six characteristics that were addressed by these individuals, and we will also look at how those six characteristics are addressed in the pages of your Bible. Before we get to any of that, though, what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer you some free literature and also a CD on today's program. Now, the literature that I'd like to offer you on today's program is titled, How You Can Be an Overcomer. Jesus Christ promises everlasting life in the kingdom of God to him who overcomes. But what does it mean to be an overcomer? This booklet will help you understand that. If you're suffering from pride, if you're suffering from anger, if you're suffering from lust, these sins can be overcome through the power of Jesus Christ. Get this booklet to find out how. I also want to offer you a free CD. It's titled The Gift of Repentance. When you look in the Bible talks about change, and it also talks about what we call repentance, which is change, which is turning your life around, going in a 180-degree opposite direction than you've been going through in the past. Get this CD, The Gift of Repentance, to learn more about this subject of change. To get both of these items, all you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or visit our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to the website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast on the web. Go to www.cgi.org. Welcome back. To those of you that were with us at the top of the program, we're talking today about the subject of change. And we're going to look at change from a more detailed perspective. I'm going to investigate some of the information that comes from a couple of books, Change Anything and The Influencer. Now, these books create six characteristics for changing whatever it is you're trying to change in your life. But the interesting thing about these six characteristics is that all of them are addressed in the Bible through different words and different phrases, And we're going to make that connection today to those six characteristics and how the Bible addresses them. Now, what are these six characteristics? Well, number one, there's personal motivation. Number two, personal ability. Number three, social motivation. Number four, social ability. Number five, structural motivation. And finally, number six, structural motivation, or structural ability, I should say. Now, those words may mean nothing to you right now. I'm going to bring those words to life for you and help you understand what's behind them. And I believe that they really can make a difference in helping us to change, because when you understand them, they are biblical concepts that are addressed in the pages of our Bible. So let's begin by looking at personal motivation, ladies and gentlemen. In order to change something, folks, you gotta wanna change. You got to want to change. If you do not have personal motivation for change, it's going to be very difficult to change. So what I'm going to do is, with each of these examples, I'm going to give you a worldly analogy. One of the examples they provided in the book was the guinea worm disease in Africa. So let's go to Africa for a moment in your mind's eye. And they have a problem there with guinea worm. It's in the water supply of some of these ponds, some of these lakes, some of these rivers that some of these African villagers get their water from. So what occurs is, when they drink bad water, they will get the larva of the guinea worm inside their body. And here's what happens. That worm begins to grow. Some of those guinea worms become 3 feet long. And when they get big, they try to get out of that body in order to get back to that water source. And this leads to blisters forming on the body of these individuals. So do they have a personal motivation there? Yes, they do. They have the personal motivation of trying to rid that guinea worm from their body. And what do they do to try to do that? They go back to the water source to soothe that blister with water, because they don't have drug stores out in the African countryside. So they go back to the water source, and what occurs is the larva of the guinea worm gets back in the water supply when they're trying to clean out that blister and trying to get that worm removed from their body. So there's personal motivation, an example of personal motivation. Does God use personal motivation? He most assuredly does. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans 6:23 says the following: "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Is that personal motivation? Yeah. Do you want death or do you want eternal life? What can be more personally motivating than that? God also gives us more motivation. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Notice what we read in Matthew 6 and 33. It says the following: "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." God says, "I've got this kingdom for you. It's in the future. You can get there if you follow me, if you come to believe in Jesus Christ. Everything you're worried about in this earth, all the concerns that you have, that's all going to be nothing if you can make it to the kingdom of God." That is personal motivation, folks. God is trying to get you to see what's out there for you, because he wants to motivate you to change, to turn yourself around. So let's go to point number two in looking at change. Characteristic number two, you've got to have personal ability. Once you've got the motivation, you've got to know how to reach the motivation that you have. So let's go back to our African villager. He wants to get rid of that guinea worm. Well, there's information out there on how to do that. How does the guinea worm live? What makes it prosper? How do you filter out the guinea worm when you're pouring that water into your water basins and things of that nature? Information, knowledge, helps you with your ability to get to the motivation that is inspiring you. Does God do the same thing? He most assuredly does. God gives you personal ability to reach your motivation of getting to the kingdom or having eternal life. He gives you that ability through His Word, through the information He's providing to you in the Bible. But He does even more than that. God wants you to follow His statutes, His laws. He wants you to believe in Jesus Christ. But He gives you even more ability to do it. Notice what He says in John chapter 14. The Gospel of John, and we're going to turn over there to chapter 14. Notice what John 14, beginning in verse 14, says. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. God gives you the ability to follow his way when you get God's Holy Spirit. So that is the personal ability you need to follow God. Point number three in bringing about change is social motivation. Social motivation. Now, what is social motivation? Think of social motivation in this way. It's positive peer pressure. Positive peer pressure. Let's go back to our example in the African village. There's information on how to rid yourself of guinea worm disease. But if people from outside that village come to the villagers and tell them this is how you should do it, do you think they're going to get anywhere with those villagers? Those villagers don't know these outsiders. So what the outsiders have done is they've gone to the head of the village, the elder of the village, and they've given the elder that information. They tell the elder, keep the individual who has the guinea worm quarantined. Keep them away from the water source. Then we're going to give you these filters. When you bring the water from the guinea worm water area, please filter it through this specific filter. That will make sure that it captures all the larvae of the guinea worm so it will get out of your water supply. And through other means and other methods, the information is disseminated to the village elder. Why? Because people look to authority figures to help them change. You've probably heard of coaching today. Professional coaches, life coaches. This is a growing industry today because people see the validity of having a personal coach help them make changes in their life. You've heard of mentoring. You probably had a father or mother. You've probably had a teacher in your life who has had some impact on you. Positive peer pressure can have a big part in bringing about positive change in your life. Because think of the negative peer pressure you may have had in your life and how that may have influenced you. Studies have been done by social scientists on the power of one individual to impact in other individuals through various means. Positive peer pressure is another way to bring about change. Now, how does that relate to the Bible? Does the Bible show us examples of positive peer pressure? Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5. Now, what you got to remember about the Corinthian church is Paul started that church, and then he left and let it go. But once Paul left, he's writing back to the Corinthians through these letters of 1st and 2nd Corinthians because the Corinthians were experiencing problems. And Paul was a respected individual in that community of believers. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 1. It's reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What's Paul doing? He's giving them the lowdown here. He's saying, get rid of this guy from your community if he's going to continue to sin like this. Because this can't happen. You can't have this happening in your community. Paul was influential in that community. This one individual, Paul, could write this letter and it could influence those people back at Corinth because of the power of that personality. Positive peer pressure making a change for these people. That's another element to bringing about change. Let's look at a other element here. Social ability. Social ability. Now, the power of one individual can't help, but what about the power of many individuals or community? I would consider social ability to be getting by with a little help from your friends. You probably have heard the song, "Gonna get by with a little help from my friends." It's true. If you bring community into it, there's a lot of power when you have unity, when you have other people supporting you. Let's go back to our guinea worm example, and let's think about the community there and how it works to rid the community of guinea worm. When individuals who have the blisters go back to that water source, the other villagers call them out. The other villagers say, "Hey, you can't do that. You can't go be messing with our water because you've got the guinea worm. That larva could get back in the water and pollute all of us." So they watch out for each other. They look out for each other. That sense of community is there to try to change that problem of the guinea worm in Africa. But how does the guinea worm example work as far as Christians are concerned? Well, turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Notice what it says here, Hebrews 10, 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." What is God saying here in His Word about getting together and fellowshipping together? In other places, it says iron sharpens iron. We need to come together and fellowship with each other, ladies and gentlemen, because that's how we learn to grow and prosper and understand what Christianity is all about. You can't understand Christianity unless you're in a community of believers. You can't understand it as well when you're by yourself. You've got to be involved with people, and those people need to be giving you information. You need to be giving them information. There's this symbiotic relationship that needs to take place within community that can help you change, help you grow, help you get better. Now, we've got a couple more change agents to go. Two more characteristics of change. One of them is structural motivation. What does structural motivation mean? It's basically rewards and punishments. Reward and punishment can help in the change process also. Let's go back to the African village. How do they bring about reward and punishment? Here's how they do it. They tell those individuals with guinea worm disease, stay in your homes. Stay away from the water. If you stay away from the water, we will reward you. We will water your crops. We will take care of your animals for you because we know you've got to water your animals, you've got to water your crops, and you're going to be messing with water if you do that. So we're going to reward you by taking care of that for you. But if you do mess with our water, we're going to punish you. You're going to be quarantined and you're going to be sent to another village distant from your village where your family is. So there is reward and punishment in play there in order to try to bring out the eradication of the guinea worm. Does God use reward and punishment as a change agent? Oh, most assuredly He does. If you read the Bible, you see this occurring over and over. You see reward and punishment mentioned over and over. Let me show you one example. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Now he goes into the blessings at the beginning of chapter 28 of Deuteronomy 28 here. But watch what happens. Halfway through this chapter, verse 15, Deuteronomy 28. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Then he goes through a litany of curses that will come upon them if they don't follow God. Does God use reward and punishment? Most assuredly he does. What does he say in Romans 6:23? You can have eternal life, reward, or you can have punishment, death. God uses this as a change agent. Now, the final example here to bring about change, the sixth characteristic for change here is structural ability. What is structural ability? What is structural ability? Structural ability is changing your environment. You also need to change your environment to bring about change. Now, how does that happen in the African village? Let's look at the African village one more time. How do they use structural ability? Let's go back to our individual who has guinea worm disease. What is he told if he doesn't obey the rules? What's going to happen to him? Get out of town. Get out of the village. Go to another place where you're not near a water source and you have to live there until the guinea worm is completely removed from your body. And that is sometimes a long process to get that 3-foot-long worm out of your body. Also, they may just pick up and go to a different watering hole, a different river, a different water source than the original water source to eradicate guinea worm from the community. Does God use this same technique, changing the environment? He most assuredly has and will. Notice in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Let's take a look at it as we start to wind down on today's program. Exodus chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. God is using structural ability here. Exodus 19, verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. What did God do with Israel? He physically removed them from Egypt. Egypt was a symbol of sin. Egypt was a pagan nation. God removed Israel physically from Egypt. He changed their environment. And then he began to dwell with them, to tabernacle with them, and to teach them his ways in a totally new environment. So they would not be jaded. They would not be influenced by the environment they were previously in. What's God going to do in the future when he brings the kingdom of God to this earth? He's going to change the environment of this earth. And that will be influential in changing people who are alive and living during that time of the kingdom of God on this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we've seen that there are six characteristics that can bring about change. Those six characteristics are mentioned in the pages of your Bible. They were personal motivation. You got to want to change. Personal ability. You've got to learn about how to change. You've got to get information about what you need to do to bring about that personal motivation. Point number three, you've got to have social motivation, positive peer pressure. Point number four, you've got to have social ability. Get by with a little help from your friends. You've got to have social motivation. Reward and punishment need to be involved. You've got to have structural ability also, and that is a change of the environment. If you can bring all six elements into understanding change, the chances of bringing about that change are much greater, and they are all biblical concepts. God understands this. You can understand this. So please, ladies and gentlemen, understand that God wants to bring about change in your life. We've got to do it. We've got to follow through. We've got to repent and start going in the direction that God wants us to go. Life is short. We've got to decide now. Please stay tuned for some words from my colleague. Bye for now.
Change. Today's program was all about change. That's right. Mike tried to give us some detailed advice, compelling us to be motivated to generate change in our life. That's right. He gave us 6 points, didn't he? 6 points for us to consider, and then assured us that if indeed we would inculcate these into our lifestyle, that we would experience some substantive change. But my friends, that's the key. Substantive change. You see, in most cases, oftentimes, change occurs after we as human beings experience something that generates sorrow or remorse in our lives. Now, I realize it's not always that way, but so often it is. Some tragedy occurs. We hit our proverbial wall and we get caught in doing something and then we're sorry. And that's the worldly sorrow that your Bible talks about and of which tells us we've got to go beyond being sorry we got caught if indeed we expect to change. And so the Bible basically compares worldly sorrow, that, what I just mentioned, with godly sorrow that generates change. And that's the big difference. Are we motivated to change? The Apostle Paul had some things to say about that over here in 1 Corinthians 7, where he states this in verse 10, "For godly sorrow works reformation in one's life, reforming." That's what the word, in the Greek word here translated repentance means. "To salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world, that of being caught, works death," because it doesn't generate change. In verse 11, then he proceeds to explain how repentance, godly repentance, motivates people to change. Won't you let us help you to better understand this subject? Dial now, 888-578-8791. Ask for the two free offers that we're presenting on today's program. The small booklet titled, "How Can You Be an Overcomer?" Well detailed, good information for one who's really on a journey in attempt to try to change his life. And secondly, a 1-hour CD titled, "Gift of Repentance." Dial now, 888-578-8791. Ask for the two free offers that we're presenting on today's program. Get both of these free offers, my friends. This is Bill Watson reminding all of you, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support. Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.